This week, scientists have achieved what has been hailed as the biological equivalent of climbing Mount Everest. They've created a synthetic, fully functional copy of a yeast chromosome. Jeff Bucher from New York University Langone Medical Center is one of the scientists who's leading the project. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. How are you, Chris?
Very well, thanks. First of all, tell us, what actually have you achieved here?
Well, we've made a brand new chromosome starting from a design that we put together on a computer. The original chromosome has about 316,000 base pairs, which you could think of as letters. And starting with that sequence of letters, we carved out sections that we thought probably the yeast could do without. We inserted some bits, and we changed some of the letters in ways that were useful to us. Then we engaged a class of students in the Build a Genome class at Johns Hopkins University who strung together these letters into words, the words into paragraphs, and eventually we built pages of letters, so to speak. And then chapter by chapter, we introduced one chapter of approximately 25,000 letters at a time and replaced the chromosome that was present in a normal yeast with the synthetic counterpart.
So you did this in an incremental fashion. You didn't replace the whole chromosome at once. You did little bits of it at a time.
Precisely.
Why was it necessary to do little bits at a time? Why couldn't you just make a new one and put it in?
Well, we are able to do that. It was kind of risky the first time to do that because by making so many changes to the sequence as we had, we did not know ahead of time what the outcome would be. This was a way to make sure that there were no flaws in our overall plan.
So the yeast that you've made, it's indistinguishable when you just look at it and the way in which it grows, running this artificial computer-designed chromosome compared with wild-type yeast, yeast you would find brewing beer, which is the yeast you started with, isn't it?
That's correct.
You picked on yeast chromosome number 3, or at least that's what you said you'd done in your science paper. So why did you choose that one?
Well, you might have thought we would start with the smallest chromosome, but chromosome 3 is actually the third smallest chromosome. And the reason is because it's actually a sentimental favorite of people who work on yeast. And that's because, like people, yeast comes in two sexes. They're not called male and female. They're called A and alpha. And like people, yeast can mate and give rise to progeny. And the master regulator gene for this process lives on chromosome 3. And that's why it was also the very first chromosome whose DNA sequence was determined.
So this gives you an insight into whether yeast make effectively male and female forms. And if you've made an artificial form of yeast and it still makes male and female forms, you know your chromosome is working, right?
It's one of the many ways we know, yes. There are many genes on this chromosome, over 100, and basically they all have to be working to some extent in order for the yeast to grow normally, as far as we can tell.
What are the implications of what you've done, of being able to produce and prove that you can successfully produce a chromosome and replace the entire chromosome in a living organism in this way?
Well, two things. Number one, we can obviously scale up and make larger chromosomes, and potentially we could build chromosomes that could be introduced, for example, into plants and animals, much smaller versions than the native chromosomes, because the yeast chromosomes are quite a bit smaller. But secondly, we've installed into this chromosome a kind of program that will allow us, by flipping a switch, a genetic switch, allow us to trigger the formation of thousands of derivative chromosomes, all different from each other. I liken it to a system that automatically shuffles a deck of cards, only in this case, the deck contains 100 genes. So we can shuffle the chromosome, and ultimately we'll be able to shuffle the entire genome of this yeast. And by doing that, we think we can make greatly improved versions that can be very useful for practical purposes, not just making alcohol, which we know that yeast does very well, but many other products like medicines and vaccines and specialty chemicals.
Jeff Bucher from the NYU Langone Medical Center. He published that work this week in the journal Science.
Thanks, Chris.